life. Thanks be to God.
Our third reading for this Christmas Eve comes from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world shall be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Word of God, word of life. Reading for today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Word of God, word of life.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Normally I would call the children forward, but all of you are children of God, so I'm going to ask you the questions tonight. How many of you have already gotten into your Christmas presents? I see some hands going up. For the rest of you, how many of you have picked up your present, shaken it a little bit, smelled it, tried to figure out what it is? All right, I see a few more hands going up. How many of you made a Christmas list and shared it with other people? How many of you expect to get anything on that list? I think back into all the times that I asked for something for Christmas, and only once in my entire life do I remember getting what I asked for. Can you believe that? Only once do I remember. I remember in childhood always hoping for something and finding the usual, an orange, some walnuts. Some of you know I'm allergic to walnuts, but that didn't stop my mother from giving them to me. And something that I probably didn't ask for and didn't necessarily want. One time I got exactly what I asked for. And when I opened it, I burst into tears. And my husband said, "What's wrong? Isn't that what you asked for?" I said, "That's the whole point. I'm crying because finally someone listened to me when I said, this is what I want. And you actually got it for me." And I just sobbed. He's looking at me thinking, "I don't know who I married." She cries when I give her flowers. She cries when I give her a gift card. But it's because he understood what it was that I wanted. And that this time I was asking for something I really wanted. Now, how many times do we ask for something and we don't get it? And sometimes we find out we've asked for the wrong thing all along. Now, think back. Picture the scene of that very first Christmas. A young woman, Mary, exhausted from giving birth, gazes in wonder at her newborn son. Nearby is Joseph, relieved that his beloved has finally delivered her child, for it is her child, not his, although he will protect and nurture and teach this child as though he were their own. And the child looks like any ordinary child. He's a son, perfect, healthy, a son born to Mary, but not the way that she had imagined it. Picture the scene of Mary, sometimes depicted just sweeping a room or engaged in prayer, when an angel appears to her and tells her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. And not only that, but that the Messiah is going to be the Son of God. This is not what she had planned at all. She had planned undoubtedly a quiet wedding with Joseph, who traditionally is an older man. And she thought she'd settle down in Nazareth, not a place that too many people knew about or cared about. We hear later, can anything good come of Nazareth? A little obscure town. And she thought she'd settle there with Joseph, and probably name their first son Joseph after him. And then the angel breaks in and changes everything. Changes all of her plans and all of Joseph's as well. This was not what he thought was going to happen when he was betrothed to Mary. And also, Mary thought undoubtedly that she was going to give birth to her son there in Nazareth with her mother and other older women that she knew right there beside her. And here she is in Bethlehem, having traveled about 90 miles, probably on foot. I know we see her depicted on a donkey, And she's probably on... Who wants to ride a donkey when you're 9 months pregnant? Anyone? No, I don't know about you, but I'd much rather walk. But imagine walking 90 miles. And so here she is in this place, not their home in Nazareth, where she would have had the assistance of her mother and other relatives when the time came to deliver her child. Not Nazareth, but the city of David, Bethlehem. When Gabriel spoke to her 9 months ago, she had not imagined having to travel while in the last stages of pregnancy to give birth so far from home. The usually quiet town of Bethlehem has been bustling with activity due to the census. All the usual places that travelers could find refuge were full. They probably knocked on the doors of some of their relatives and found that they were full too. Finally, they do find a place where they can stop for a while. And here in this place, traditionally depicted as having animals nearby, where the little family can have some peace and some quiet, Mary gives birth to her child. She's taken out the strips of cloth that she probably brought from home, traditionally used to wrap infants to keep their limbs straight. The child undoubtedly came into the world with a hearty cry. I don't really believe in a way in the manger when it tells you no crying he made. I think he was a normal baby, and I think he cried. And I think he gave a lusty cry when he first breathed air. But now that he's been swaddled and now that he's been fed, I can picture him asleep. Now, Mary had been told that she would bear a son and that she would name him Jesus. He told her, this angel did, that the child would be great, would be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And when she visited her relative Elizabeth and found that Elizabeth too was with child, Elizabeth's child preached the first sermon by leaping in his mother's womb, declaring who this infant was being carried by Mary. Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Those words were uttered as Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and John in her womb also filled with the Holy Spirit. How else could she recognize Jesus contained as he was in his mother's womb? We know what happened when Joseph learned about the pregnancy. Can you imagine having your fiancé come to you saying, "I'm pregnant"? It was an angel. He came to me and he told me I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah. Sure, an angel came. Joseph, when he heard this news, decided to divorce Mary quietly. But we know that he was also visited by an angel who told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not how Joseph had planned things at all. But this was to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah of the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. So Joseph did as the angel told him to do. So there they are. This little family of Mary, her newborn baby, and Joseph. Probably the baby has just gone to sleep at last. And Mary and Joseph are breathing a sigh of relief and about to settle down into their own sleep when whatever privacy they have is shattered by the arrival of shepherds. shepherds who tell them with amazement that they have seen angels as well. They've heard the voice of an angel saying, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." And the shepherds stayed, and we saw not only one angel, we saw a whole multitude of angels. And they were crying out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Not the night that those shepherds were expecting. Not the peaceful night that they thought they would have. But instead, a night filled with angels. For this child has come to fulfill the word spoken in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. "For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I have to wonder what Mary thought as she looked into the face of her newborn infant and thought, this is Wonderful Counselor. This is Mighty God. This is Everlasting Father. This is Prince of Peace. This is the one for whom we've been waiting, the one for whom we've been praying. And here he is. Here he is at last. And the shepherds acknowledge that. And later, the wise ones from afar who come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, finding him not in Jerusalem where a king would be born, but in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. A place whose name means a place of bread. The shepherds found him lying in a manger, a place where animals feed. For he has come to be the bread of life. He has come to be our salvation. He has come to fulfill the promises made long ago. He has come to be the gift that we didn't know that we needed. Of all the things that God could do for us or give to us, the idea that God came down to be with us, as it states in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that God came and tented with us. God came to dwell with us. God took on flesh to know what it is to be human, so that we could acknowledge that we have a God who is not distant from us, but knows just how we feel. Of all the gifts that God could give to us, God has given us God's very self, born as a child like all children, living a life like most of us do. But he does something else, because without the cross, manger wouldn't matter. He came to die for us. He came to die for us, each one of us, and to be raised again on the third day. And that brings to mind something that happened this last Wednesday. As you know, we had our youth program last Sunday, and on Wednesday we had a party. Right? Yeah, we had a party. I think there was bingo going on downstairs. We had an escape room going on upstairs with puzzles. And there were what? What happens when you have gifts? When you have games, you have gifts, right? You have prizes. And so there were a number of things that were chosen first. Some notebooks really went fast. Candy went fast. But there was one thing left over And I was asked if I wanted it. And I said, sure. It's an ornament. And it says hope. And I looked at that and I thought, and that is one of the great gifts that we receive at Christmas time. That gift of hope. Because of Jesus, we have hope. We have hope that this life is not all that there is. We have hope that one day we will be reunited with the one who sent us here. We have hope of life everlasting, of life eternal. In the coming of Jesus, God has given the greatest gift of all. Amen.